Good evening to those of you on Zoom. It's good to see you. I'm Marilyn, and I am an alcoholic. Get set up here. I've got to say, as I was preparing this week, I realized that I'm a veteran of steps 8 and 9. It feels really good, although I still make amends from time to time. But this is a two steps that I found very challenging at first, but I really enjoyed the process of being able to study and renew and even learn more about these steps. So I'm going to just jump right in, and with a brief little like summary of 8 and 9, and I'm going to start with a quote from the 12 and 12, because I think it's a really good description of the objective for these steps. Step 8 and 9 are concerned with personal relations. First, we take a look backward and try to discover where we have been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we have done. And third, having thus cleaned away the debris of the past, we consider how, with our newfound knowledge of ourselves, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being we know. I really like that. It gives me hope. So in review, I just want to say that we've done a lot of work, a lot of spiritual work to this point, and especially from doing step 4 and 5, we took a fearless moral inventory, and with that process, we're able to identify our character defects. And they weren't hard, they were hard for me to accept at first. But as we go through the progression of the steps with step 5, it really gave me a very good feeling of acceptance. I'm not alone, I'm not the only one. But then, of course, we go to 6 and 7, where we are willing to have God remove those character defects, and then 7, where we actually humbly ask Him to remove them. So now we're at step 8 and 9, and it's basically here where we are actively taking part in the process of God removing our shortcomings or our character defects. So it's a roll up the sleeves step as far as I'm concerned. So one of the things that I really have been able to understand about 8 and 9 this time around is that they really do set the stage for learning how to live in peace with peace and harmony with people. And that was a challenge for me at first. Well, for years it was a challenge, but when I first came into AA, things didn't just get all better. It took some work. So what the big book says about the steps right away, right in the beginning of talking about 8 and 9, they quote a scripture verse from the Bible, James 2 verse 26, faith without works is dead. And I was like, whoa, I didn't expect to hear that here. But I thought about it for a while, and I realized that it's true of our spiritual program of recovery. You just can't believe and trust in something without putting that faith to practice. And that's what we're doing in steps 8 and 9. And the practice starts with just making that list. And that for me was a challenge in and of itself. But the first objective, as it's told in the big book, is that we fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And then the second objective is to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of the effort to live on self-will and to run the show ourselves. So now we're at step 8, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. list caused me to have to backtrack at first. Had to go and identify the wreckages, the things that I had done to hurt people. And actually, in identifying those, I was also identifying the way I harm myself. And so it was a real lesson. So actually, the way to delve into the past is to acknowledge the wrongs that I've done and hold myself accountable. So making the list is doing that. What are the harms? Well, what could we possibly do? Well, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, I believe that there was a grave spiritual harm done. I was raising a child and drinking. And so there was some spiritual damage done there that is still evident today. So, moving on, there's actually a prayer in the big book on page 79 that really got me focused. And what we're trying to do here is we're doing a task that's very difficult, but we're not doing it alone. We're doing it with God's help. And the prayer is this, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. And that's a true act of faith, it was for me, to be able to venture into that. So the list is going to be different and is different for everyone, but it can include all kinds of people, employers, co-workers, family members, spouse, children, parents, extended family. I know one of the things I did is I cut myself off from my siblings and pretty much from my mother while I was in my active addiction. So we've identified some of those. There's also things like neighbors and friends. I was a very big challenge to my friends. They were social drinkers, I was not. But I took advantage of the fact that they had a lot more money to buy alcohol. So, but that amend has been made, by the way. So it's a good thing. One of the things that sort of kept me stuck for a little bit was very simple. Well, two things, actually. Fear and pride. It's like I was afraid of what people might say, think of me, do to me. And the other part was just my pride, that I could think what they did to me instead of really focusing on what I did to them. So I had to start looking at the past and the wrongs that I did, and overlook the wrongs done to me. The only way I know to do that, to overlook some of the hurts that I received, was to start actively forgiving them for doing some of those things. It was like I was doing things, they were doing things, reactive things to me. So what happened next and what will happen next is that I have to stay true and hold myself accountable and keep going in the process. The big book, I think it was, maybe it was a 12 and 12, it made a real strong point that alcoholics really aren't the only ones bedeviled by sick emotions and bad behaviors and destructive behaviors. We're all human. So, and that helped me to realize that I could forgive. I wanted the relationships to be restored. That doesn't happen in all relationships, but I had to be willing to forgive in order to get to that point. It's important to realize that the adverse reactions of others were often what? Oh yeah, they were in response to what I did. I don't like it when people do things, you know, insensitive, rude things in a grocery store. So I don't try to retaliate or even respond. But boy, in a family situation, in relationships, and even at work, there's some stuff that happens. So I'm focusing on my own wrongful behaviors. I think with more recent, how many years ago was it? I made some major amends, and I went to my sponsor first and ran it by her. And the reason is to get my head straight, to get some feedback, to get some kind of encouragement to go ahead with that. And the other thing that happened was she had done my fourth and fifth with me, or my fifth with me, and I left some people off that list. And she was able to say, well, what about this or what about that? And that was helpful to the process as well. So what I want to do now is wrap it up for step 8 with a quote that is really what I consider a good summary of step 8 in the 12 and 12. We shall want to hold ourselves to the course of admitting the things we had done wrong, meanwhile forgiving the wrongs done us, real or fancied, because I have a good imagination. And I can read into a lot of things. We must not exaggerate our defects or theirs. A quiet, objective view will be our steadfast aim. I think if we're able to do this, it's a sure sign that we're maturing and growing spiritually. So it's a real thing that spurs me on to keep going. So now we're at step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure others. I got a little list of do's and don'ts here when you're going to make amends. I think the step is very clear. Made direct amends. Direct amends. In person. Eyeball to eyeball, maybe, but face to face whenever possible. There's going to be situations. In later years, my mother's been gone since 2007, but as I grow, there's some things that I feel I needed to make amends for, and I've done that by writing. You can write it out, you can burn it if you want. But I've had to make amends like that. And the benefit of that for me was I have trouble letting go of things, especially if I feel really guilty about them. But that process, there's a burning ceremony you can do too, where you read it and then you burn it, and you're kind of like letting it go. And so that's one way to make amends when you can't be face-to-face. There's other situations, too, if somebody's in prison or maybe they're at a distance where there's no way of getting to them. And the other thing is there are some people, and there have been some people in my life, they're just not safe to make amends to. And I've just kind of turned that over to God and let it go. If I don't do that, I hold on to stuff, and they can become a resentment, and then I'm going to have another amendment sooner or later. So timing and attitude is very important. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to like to procrastinate, put things off, especially if I know they're going to be uncomfortable. Let's just like maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe never. No. Try not to do that, but I can procrastinate. And it's not a good thing to do because it says it in the 12 and 12, as we become confident in our new way of living and our behaviors change, well, people are going to see that. So there's not as much to fear. I don't have to put it off. a lot of people are more than willing to hear an amendment. I've not had, well, I've had a couple of kind of scary situations, but for the most part, people are more than willing to hear you out and to accept your apology or your give you forgiveness even. So it's not something that you can rush, though. I had an experience. There was someone I was sponsoring years ago now, but they rushed into making amends way before we had gotten to step 9. That never turns out very well, because there's so much spiritual work to do to get to that point that you really can't. You're really putting yourself out on a limb and maybe making more problems than there were originally. And the other point is that everything, this is a spiritual program, so everything is in God's timing. Why is it that I want to rush them along? Why do I want to like say, well, I think this is the right time, when I haven't really prayed up on it, I haven't really surrendered, and so I need to be prayerful about the right timing for some of these things. Attitude is everything, don't you think? The big book says we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. I call it groveling. I'm not a good groveler, I guess. But as God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. I think by the time I got to steps 8 and 9, I had done some spiritual work with trying to forgive myself for, you know, just being an alcoholic and drinking and not using faith, or just not showing up for life. So we go on. What don't we do now? Okay, when we do an amends, we don't argue, we don't criticize, we don't take their inventory, judge, or make the apology disingenuous. Now, I want to give you an example of that. If I did something to offend you, I'm sorry. Actually, Buzz and I had an experience very recently where someone that we used to be very close to, a friend, we haven't seen in maybe three or four years, and the relationship kind of cooled off because this person was going through a lot of things, but he was taking pot shots at us left and right. It was getting really ugly and painful to experience that. So we just sort of backed off. Well, we're walking on our daily routine walk, and we come up out of the woods, and somebody's coming. My eyes aren't good in the distance. Somebody's coming this way, coming down toward the, and guess what? It was that man. And that's kind of like an awkward moment. And we just small talked a little bit. And then he said it. Well, if I did something to offend you, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh dear. Because I didn't want a confrontation, and I know Buzz didn't want a confrontation. And so basically, I loved what Buzz said. He said, it's in the past. And we just had small talk and left on, you know, he went his way and we went ours. He got rained on, we didn't. We got to our car first. Payback, sorry. That was really mean. Okay, I'll try to behave. So when we do our actual amends, it's really, they're categorized into now, later, maybe, maybe not, and then never. And I think that's a very good thing. it allows us to analyze, and I think if we do the nows, they are usually people that we consider to be safer, and who are maybe supportive of our recovery, family members or whoever. It's not always the case, but I think it is most of the time. And then some of those other ones later may be just logistics, or it may be just having to process some more, pray some more, whatever. And may or may not, there are iffy people for me that I wasn't sure. And I've got to tell you, one of them is my daughter. I did make amends to her, and I'm getting ready to do another one, but the problem was her head was not in the game, man. She was very angry about not just me or the past, it was just anger in general, and I really had to pray for God's timing on that. And it did happen, and her response was beautiful. Don't worry about it. There was a lot to worry about. She cut me off for 3 years. 3 years. But, you know, I wasn't trying to mess with that. I just trusted God for it, and it's been wonderful ever since. So it pays to make the amends, even if you're a little scared about it. Now, the other thing that I want to emphasize is we really need to be responsible when making amends, not to, you know, there a lot of situations involve more than one person. So if you're going to make amends and there's other people involved, it's really important to consider permissions, especially if there's really kind of messy things involved in it. So that's an important part of being responsible, I think. Also, legal consequences. I by the grace of God, I didn't have any, but I had some financial ones, and when there's a consequence, an amend to be made, if it's legal, hey, sometimes you have to make sure that it's not going to affect your family. Or, well, family mainly, especially if you're raising kids or something, because sometimes that means incarceration, and that would be an awkward thing. And financial, going to someone to make financial amends, be prepared. Like, either pay off the debt right then, or set up payment plan, be responsible, but then follow through. So there's a lot of trickiness that comes in with it, but it's certainly doable. Now, I am going to ask you some questions. I'm going to answer them now. And I invite you to still ask me the questions afterwards, please. I would feel so left out if you didn't. So, but my question, my first question is... Are written amends appropriate? Well, I already said that if somebody's gone, you really have to. If you're going to make an amend, you maybe do a verbal one with someone else and ask their forgiveness. I don't know. Yeah, like role play it maybe, but I never thought of that one. But to actually write a letter to someone to make an amend, I had that done by my ex-husband. He had gone into a program, and he, when he came back, he asked for divorce. It's all good. And the thing he did was, he was getting remarried, and he wrote me a lengthy letter. It came in the mail, and he apologized for some things. And then at the end, he says, I do not expect you to respond to this. I'm like, no problem. Yeah. But it was very impersonal. And it wasn't really, as far as I'm concerned, that when you're face to face, they see you, they see your countenance, your emotions, you see theirs, and they think it's a lot more effective and healing. Second question. I love this. Are text amends appropriate? Oh. And we all said, no. No. I think not. They're way too impersonal. And I've been the recipient of poison text messages. I don't know if anybody else here has, but they're not really fun. But if I were to make an amend through a text, I deserve a poison text message in return. So that would be just being a big chicken. I was going to talk like a chicken, but I just thought I'd say that would be being a chicken. I really want to do it, but I'm not going to. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm in a rare mood, sorry.
Go ahead.
Now, the thing that I do, this is my way of doing an amend. One of my issues is I get nervous. I don't know if you can tell, but I do get nervous, especially in a situation where I'm making an amend. My mind will go blank. I'll just like, it's gone. And the problem with that is that I'll only say half of what I meant to say, wanted to say. I'll leave things out or I'll say the wrong thing. So I write it out. I get on my computer, I type it out because my handwriting is not so good. And then when I go to make the amend, I read it to them. And I try to read it, but eye contact it as I'm reading it and that kind of thing. But then at the end, I give it to them. Because I know when someone brings something to me, I have to think things through. My first response isn't always the best one. But the other part of putting it in writing is at the end of my amends, I put what I'm going to do differently. Yeah, this is what I'm going to do to never have this happen to us again or to anyone else. And I have it in writing. So, in a way, what it is for me is it's a contract, an informal contract. I have a copy of that amend at home, so I'm going to hold myself to it, and hopefully they won't have to hold me to it, because hopefully I'll just do it naturally. So, the next question I have for you. What are living amends? Well, I will tell you what living amends are. They're not just staying sober. I have heard people say that. I've had sponsees say, well, I just will stay sober, and that's good enough. I don't think so, because that's not you holding yourself accountable for your actions. And it doesn't mend relationships. It really doesn't. To me, the living amend, it's real. There is such a thing as a living amend. It's me making the changes. It's me becoming the person that I was meant to be. And also being responsible in relationships, being accountable in society, you know, not stealing horses. I don't think I've ever stole a horse, but you know what I'm talking about. So a living amend never... It doesn't replace the amend. It's kind of a benefit of the amend. What if our amend is rejected harshly? And I don't know if anybody's ever had that experience. I have. It's really so much fun.
Yeah.
I have this reflex where I just hold my breath. I, like, inside I'm just like frozen up. But The amend is for my spiritual growth through my accountability. I need to respect their response. I may not like it, it may hurt, but I have to respect it and accept it without disputing it. One of the things, never argue, never get into the, well, you did this. It's like, oh my gosh, that's really a dangerous game to play. And it doesn't heal anything. It just creates bigger messes. So healing takes time. It just takes time. Some people take longer to heal than others. I think I've mentioned in a past presentation, I never remember what I say, but the worst one I ever did was with my twin sister, and she just took me apart. She did a good job of it too. It was very efficient. I'm glad I gave her the paper, because I don't remember the word I said. She was just preparing for the rebuttal. But you know, I gave her that paper. I've lived up to what I said my amend was going to look like with my behaviors in the future. I was going to speak to what I needed to speak to. I was going to share my feelings honestly. And it is working. It's been about 2 years since that amend, and we have a good relationship. It's different. It's good. It's much, much better than it was, for sure. The only quote I have this time from Joe McHugh is on page 20. We abandoned them. What? Oh yeah. Our bad behaviors, maybe, when we give up drinking. We abandoned them in step one and made a decision in step three on a new power we had begun to find in step two. With step nine, we have completed the actions. We've completed the actions. We have found the inner resource of strength, and the power has solved our worst problems. And that is the joy of having done step nine, making amends. I've discovered that with the amends, the gift has been to me my spiritual growth. I'm not responsible for how another person deals with what I say. I'm only responsible for my actions, and I want them to come from my relationship with God. I've never really regretted, even the one that was kind of a messy one. There's been a couple, but that messy one, I don't regret that at all. Because I was being, to my own self be true, I was being myself, I was being respectful and caring, and I have improved my communication with her, but not only her, with a lot of other people in my life too, so it's been good. The healing in my friendships was, I had three women that years ago I went to Carlisle to meet them. We came from all different states, and they were the ones that I drank with. I drank their booze, let's put it that way. But I made amends to them, and we communicate today through letters and so on. It's been wonderful. So doing this is painful at first, scary at first, but certainly rewarding. I'm committed to the process to become the person that God meant me to be, a better person than I was back in the day. The big book on page 83, and I'll end with this. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it one day at a time. We live it. And we work the steps. We continue to work them and work them and work them. And it works out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And at this time, do we have any questions in the room or everybody new on Zoom, just go ahead and unmute yourself. Fire away.
Thanks, Carolyn. I just was wondering if you used your fourth step list to identify the people that you harmed and then to identify the harm, if you used that at all.
Yeah, that was the main resource for the ninth step. Yeah, there was so much. It was a good review, but yes, the harms, they were right there, because in the fourth step, in what were my behaviors, and I had to identify and do some more identifying before I made the amends of the harm. I couldn't even be sure completely what the harms really were until I got with that person in amends, because I invite feedback. It's scary to do that. But I don't want to argue with you. I want to amend this relationship. I don't want to make it worse. But do you have anything you need to tell me? And it's a good process.
Hi, Darren. I'm Leslie. I'll call it. Hi, darling. Thank you again. Your series is so interesting and so just informative and spiritual. One of the questions that I had, and I was kind of wondering, I've said this to people I sponsor, and now I'm second-guessing myself, and I've done it too, but basically, have you ever just asked someone when there was something, situations where I knew there was something that I had done that wasn't money owed, it wasn't something real concrete and identifiable. Have you ever said anything just like, what can I do to make this right?
Yes, actually I did with those three women that I was telling you about. I asked them what I did. They wouldn't tell me. Must have been really rich. That's all I got to say. But yeah, I think that in getting their feedback as to what can I do, is there anything other than what I've already said? Because I usually try to think through a commitment to what I'm going to do differently. But hey, if you have something that you need me to do so this doesn't happen again, please let me know. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, thanks so much for explaining that a little more fully. Thank you.
Jim, just to kind of piggyback on that, can you say, is there anything I can do to make this right? Has anyone ever, as a condition, accepting for men, a stipulation of just unreasonable, maybe even unrelated to the way kids were functioning. They want X amount of dollars to make everything all better.
Wow, I'm so glad I haven't had that experience. No, I haven't. I bet there are people that do that, though.
It doesn't have to be money, but just some kind of thing, like if you mow my grass.
Then we're even.
This year, then we'll be good.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah, that is unrealistic. I have never thought of that, but I've had people who wanted, sometimes there's, make amends. That amends that I was talking about with my sister, that came on the heels of having a very unpleasant interaction with two women that I sponsored and no longer sponsored. And neither one of them gave me the dignity of coming to me and saying, I think I heard you say such and such. Is that what you really said? I wouldn't even mind it if they'd put their hands on their hips and cop some attitude. I wouldn't have minded. But when you don't tell me that I've done something and you're playing nice, so thank you so much for talking to me today. And then I get like blindsided by this barrage of you did this and you did that and da 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 and you're no longer my sponsor. I'm like, and the upshot of that was one of them actually said, I'd really like to be friends, sisters in recovery. And I prayed on that one before I, oh, that was a text. Just thought I'd mention that. And I prayed on it for a day or two before I responded. And my response, if I remember it correctly, was, I wish you well, but I have nothing more to offer you. And that was it. And sometimes there's a need to get away from certain people. And I used to think that I had to mend everything. I don't. And that's where those unsafe people come in. There are unsafe people, and there's people that will work an angle, like with what you're saying, mow my lawn, do this, do that, you know. That's not what amends are about, I don't think. I hope I answered that.
Colin, I'll call it.
Hi, Colin.
Hi, Colin.
So how do you decide what makes a good level? So where do you decide, okay, I'm going to spend a jerk, but not necessarily quite there yet? Or do you not draw?
I'm not quite understanding.
What do you determine? How do you determine what you need to make?
What amends?
What qualifies as being egregious enough that you need amends?
My heart. I often just feel, I try to surrender my will and my life over to the care of God daily. I don't try, I do it, but of course I grab it back now and then. But there will be something that comes up in my thoughts and sometimes in my prayers. I feel sometimes my higher power puts people on my heart purposely because there's an unfinished business there. So that's what I basically used as kind of a guide. I think that as was said over here, the using step four, those were my initial ones. Is taking the people off my fourth step. Harms done to others, sexual harms, and then resentments. I can be nasty when I resent something. You know, I've got words. And they, in the past, weren't very nice. So when I do that, I'll feel something and need to address it if I can. Hope that answers that.
I have a question about amends, like if I know you're not supposed to think about what they did, like you did that, so I did this. But if it was really like really bad on their part, like say, just for example, like an 80% or 85% on their part and maybe 10 or 15%, do you always make an amends for your part, even if it was pretty egregious on the other side? And I mean, not to try to get out of doing it, but it just doesn't always seem right to me in a certain instance to make an amends.
Well, that where that now, later, maybe not, may come in there, because there are times, like what you said, that they were the perpetrator for the most part. Mm-hmm. I had some colleagues that were like that, and it was 85% their stuff and not mine. And I've never, they're in the unsafe category that I will never make amends to, but I forgave them.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think that just the forgiving part may be okay, but I've also had people tell me that they have actually done amends for their part in very serious, like, situations where they were, like, sexually abused and things like that. And their part in it over time was to have a lot of anger and cause a lot of ruckus with that person. That's the only amend they make. So you just have to categorize it, maybe. But forgiveness is a powerful thing, I think.
Thank you.
Anybody on Zoom? Not yet. We got Eric.
Hey everyone, Eric Alcoholic.
Hi, Eric.
So piggybacking on the forgiveness, how do you go about forgiving somebody? Like, what processes? And how do you truly know that you, like, feel that you've forgiven them? Because I tend to hold on to them and be like, okay, am I truly forgiving them, or am I just saying I'm forgiving them? I'm really not. It's bad. It's probably an overthinking thing.
Well, forgiveness is a very, I think it's a dynamic process anyway, but I can forgive and then yank it back. And that's what resentments are. But I usually am now aware of when my resentments are firing up, and then I don't have to forgive them personally. My forgiveness is going back over some events, and sometimes I'll just sit and think about it, and think we're not perfect. I'm not perfect, they're not perfect, and I can forgive that. Every once in a while, and Buzz knows this, because he's usually the one that I yap at if something comes up, but, you know, I had a 21-year marriage that was very unhappy for both of us. Every once in a while, this memory bubble comes up. And today, I know I've forgiven him and forgiven the situation and forgiven myself for my part, because I can report those things without that emotional charge that takes me down a bad, bad path. So forgiveness is of God, I believe. It's our connection with our higher power, our spiritual process. So I think that over time, you may have to, you know, do some more hard work with the forgiveness, but I think it gets better over time. I hope that answered it.
So I'm thinking about the situation in the big book where we're talking about how some amends you should not make because it's going to harm the other person. So, for example, Elliot in the big book, if her husband cheats on his wife,
right,
and to not tell her because it will harm her. What is your suggestion for that situation? It's going to harm someone. How does the other person get it out? How can they heal spiritually? Should they talk to someone else? Should they write a letter and burn it? What would you suggest to be in that situation?
Well, start with a real heart-to-heart with your sponsor, perhaps. Prayer, meditation, the letter, I think, is a good thing. I'm really, really not keen on sharing that kind of stuff with another person, because confidentiality, people, and I learned this years ago, you may have a confidant, you may have somebody that you feel you can really share with, but you're unloading some really, really powerful stuff onto them. Not everybody's capable of dealing with it, so they yap to this person, and that person doesn't feel the need for confidentiality, so they yap to the next one, and before you know it, it's a big whole hot mess. So I think that keeping it under wraps with a sponsor, maybe a minister or some religious person or whatever, but the with that situation, is you want to not share the wealth too much, because there's a lot of people that get harmed in that situation.
That's it. That's perfect, because according to the clock, we found out of time.
Marilyn's wore out.